Now I'd like to speak today in particular of Isaiah and of him first of all in his personal life as a prophet. Now, most of the prophets, they moved in an orbit of obscurity and anonymity. They did not project their personalities into the prophecy they proclaimed. I think Jeremiah and Hosea are the exceptions to this, and we'll see that when we get to them. But Isaiah gives us very little of a historical character concerning himself. Now, there are a few scant references to his life and ministry. In the very first verse here, we're going to find out the times in which his lot was cast during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham and Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, in Isaiah 6, he records his personal call and commission that was given to him. And in one sense, logically, this chapter should come first. But we're going to take it up as we have it. Now, in Isaiah 36 and 39, we have a historical section which records a portion of the ministry of Isaiah during the crisis when the Assyrian host encompassed Jerusalem. Now, there are a few personal sections, but Isaiah stands in the shadows as he points to another who is coming, the one who is the light of the world. Now, there are those that believe that Isaiah belonged to the royal family of David, and this certainly cannot be proven. But it is a tradition, and the scholars think that in Hebrews 11:37, when it speaks of some that were sawn asunder for their faith, that Isaiah is the one that is mentioned. Now, this may or may not be true. I do not know. But the liberal critic has sawn him asunder in forging the fake fabric of the Deutero-Isaiah hypothesis, and some even have gone so far as to fabricate a Trito-Isaiah. And there's not a scrap of documentary evidence beyond the skepticism of the destructive critic. They've cut Isaiah up like a railroad restaurant pie. But history presents only one Isaiah, not two nor three, but just one. And a friend of mine who's made quite a study of the Dead Sea Scrolls tells me that Isaiah is the one that they have worked with probably more than any other part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And there's a great section of Isaiah there. And at that time, there were no two Isaiahs. There was just one. So it's quite interesting that the Lord lets a little shepherd boy reach down in a clay pot in a cave way down in the Qumran area by the Dead Sea and take out a scroll. And it confounds the critics. And I'm of the opinion we'll just let the Lord take care of them as we go along. And if you want to know how ridiculous it is, suppose 1,000 years from today, there are a group of archaeologists. They dig down over here in Kansas, and they dig down in Washington, and they dig down over in Europe. And they say, you know, there were three Eisenhowers. There was a General Eisenhower who led a great victory as a military leader in the European theater. And then there was another Eisenhower by the name of Dwight Eisenhower. He was president of the United States. He was elected in 1952 and 1956. And still there was another Eisenhower. He was an invalid and a victim of a heart attack and a serious operation of ileitis. And somebody says, well, that's the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard. Well, when I hear them talk about three Isaiahs, I feel the same way about it.